Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good morning. How is everybody? Amen. Pastor Alex sends his love, and I'm sure he greatly misses each and every one of you this morning. He will be, I believe, back with us next week. Amen. So he asked me to take the services this morning. It is a great honor and a great blessing for me to be able to stand in the house of the Lord as a spiritual son underneath him and do what I guess I was called to do. Amen. So it's good to be with you all this morning. And I'm going to try my absolute best. I actually have a teaching prepared this morning, and I don't know if it's because of my calling or if it's because, you know, I carry the DNA of my spiritual father where, you know, I often do things just like him. Is that okay? It's just part of the DNA. When you catch the DNA of somebody, it's the same thing with God. When you begin to rub shoulders with God, you begin to think like him, you begin to see like him, you begin to speak like him. So I have a teaching and I'm going to try my best to teach, but how many of you know Pastor Alex, when he tries to teach, he somehow ends up preaching? Amen. So he tries to stay calm and he tries to stay with his notes. And before we know it, he's jumping and shouting and screaming hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to try my best to actually try to teach this morning. Is that okay? Amen. So I want to talk I got to be sensitive to who's here this morning. I know I have people in the congregation here with us this morning that have been believers for 30, 40 years that know a lot of this stuff. But I also know I have people here sitting here this morning that maybe got saved last week. So I have to kind of lay a foundation. Otherwise, when I get to actually what I'm speaking about this morning, the ones who got saved last week are going to be like, and they're going to want to run out the church because they're going to think I'm crazy. Is that okay? So can I just lay a quick foundation with you guys this morning? Okay, see, there's an invisible realm that we try so hard to ignore. Okay? There's a realm in the spirit that we, not always, some of us I know are extremely spiritual and can see. They have eyes to see and they have ears to hear. But a lot of us carry on our daily lifestyle, day to day, Monday through Friday, living according to our senses. Is that okay? Our natural senses, sight, touch, taste, hearing, etc. What we can actually physically see here in this room. I can physically see Scarlett. I know she is sitting in the front row. I can physically see the podium. I can physically see Ryan because it's natural. That's in the natural realm. I can physically see it as it is right here. I can touch it. If I wanted to, I could taste it. It'd be a little weird, but I could. You understand where I'm going with this? There's a natural realm that we operate in on a day-to-day basis. But how many of us know there's an invisible realm that's taking place called the realm of the spirit? And that if we don't begin to discern and see what's taking on in the realm of the spirit, we get confused when things happen in the natural. Because everything first takes place in the realm of the spirit. Everything takes place in the realm of the spirit first. That's why we have so much power on the tips of our tongues, that creative power. So when we begin to speak into the realm of the spirit, we're actually, okay, all right, let's just keep going. I'm losing a couple people. Listen, there is an invisible realm. Nobody can prove to me that it isn't there because I've seen things happen. Can I just be open real quick, just for a few minutes? I've seen things happen in a home cell where we begin to bind the spirit that's in operation in the realm of the spirit first, and then we see a supernatural manifestation in the natural. Finances that aren't there. Listen, I'm not going to take up another tithe. It's okay. Finances that weren't there, right? And then you speak it in the realm of the spirit, and all of a sudden, miracle money. Nobody can explain where it came from. It wasn't a bank transaction mistake. It just appeared, and it was there for you because God sent it. First in the realm of the spirit, and then it manifests in the realm of the natural. We love to talk about creative miracles and God growing in an eye on somebody who doesn't have one, and a liver that isn't there, and it's supernaturally just a creative miracle taking place, a leg beginning to grow out before our very eyes, cancer falling off a body and going in Jesus' name. We love to talk about this stuff, but see, that was first done in the spirit.
We got to have eyes to see and ears to hear. The devil would love nothing more than to keep us spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. But I believe this is a generation that's moving forward to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Romans 4:17, call forth those things that do not exist as though they do. Call them forth. Begin to speak it out. Begin to see into the realm of the Spirit. But see, we so often like to talk about all the good things that happen. Creative miracles. Finances, all these different things. But see, there's also things that take place in the realm of the Spirit that aren't good. Okay? Just as there is a positive side to everything, there's a negative side to everything as well. No, this isn't New Age theology. This is the Word. Is that all right? John 10:10, the thief does not come except to, he does not come to you except to. That means he's not going to come to you with any other motive. He's not going to come to you with any other reason. He's not going to come to you with any other thing in his mind except to kill, to steal, and destroy. That is his motive towards us. Now, every time you have a circumstance or a situation or something take place in your life that's bad, do you physically see the little Satan himself manifest in the natural and walk up to you as I'm walking up to Scarlet and do that bad thing to you? No, you don't, do you? I've never had Diablo El Satan himself manifest in front of my eyes yet. I haven't. I've never seen him poof right in front of me. But I can tell you now, there has been many, many, many times that things have happened to me, bad things have happened to me, not because of me, but because he is trying to come against me. He's trying to come against my family, trying to come against my marriage, trying to come against my destiny, my purpose, my calling, my ministry. Who do you guys blame your bad stuff on? I mean, come on now. But I don't see him in the natural. Thus, he operates in the invisible realm. He operates in the realm of the Spirit. These catastrophes that take place in our lives. Spirits of suicide. Spirits of depression. Spirits of lust and perversion that absolutely plague our young people. Listen. I've seen spirits of perversion and spirits of lust be cast out of people in a home cell. A young man come to me and say, listen, I do these things and I promise you, and he's broken, he's crying. I don't want to do these things anymore. I continue to go to Google and type in things that I shouldn't type in. Y'all can see where I'm going with this. I don't want to do them anymore. I know I shouldn't. I know it breaks God's heart. I can feel it grieves him every single time, but I just can't stop. So then you take authority over that spirit of perversion. You take authority over that spirit of lust and you bind it in Jesus' name. And it comes out in a natural manifestation. Is this too much for a Sunday morning? Is this supernatural manifestation? And then the young man comes to me a week later, a month later, a year later, totally transformed, totally set free, and said, you know what? I've been trying since I was 10 years old to get rid of this very thing in my life, and it never could happen. I would always fall back. I would always fall short. The temptation is still there, mind you. Every day the temptation still comes, but now I'm strong enough because that thing that was inside of me is no more. First in the realm of the Spirit, then it manifests in the natural. Listen, there is such a spiritual desensitization taking place in this nation. It's frightening. If you don't believe me, go turn on MTV when you get home and watch about 2 hours of MTV and see how you feel. I'm not against MTV, guys. Come on. There's a desensitization taking place. Look at the way that women are now portrayed. Okay, please, I'm not trying to step on any toes this morning, but I got to be real. Is that okay? Look at the way that women are being portrayed. Look at the way the things that are okay socially now. Man, that was taboo and you'd be kicked out of your family in the 60s. I'm not from the 60s, but I have family that tell me about it. This generation, y'all are wild. Listen, we were wild in the 70s, but y'all are nuts. There's such a desensitization taking place in the realm of the spirit. Why? Because if he can get you, if the devil can get you to be comfortable and to say socially, morally, that's okay. Oh, does he have us or not? Because then what happens is when you begin to get close, when you begin to move in the realm of the spirit, when you begin to see in the realm of the spirit, but this stuff is okay, it still grieves him. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it grieved him in the 60s, it's going to grieve him in 2017. Why is it any different? If it grieved him then, it still grieves him now. The only difference is we're allowing, we're heeding the voice of Satan in our lives. Not us here at Oceans, because we're all set ablaze, set apart, and on fire and glow in the dark, but I'm saying the church as a whole, amen? When did we get to the point to where we can't call sin what sin is? When did we get to the point to where we can't call those things the truths that are in the Word of God? When did we say that that's not it anymore? Sexually immoral things that are okay now. It's okay. You can go out on the weekend and sleep around with as many people as you want, and that's okay now. It's socially good. Oh my goodness, some of the stuff I see on Facebook, and they don't see it. You know, everybody, I get a lot of people that they seem to have this perception that whenever I used to drink, you know, Pastor, this was a while back now, I've been delivered from that. Amen. Praise Jesus. Okay, and, Pastor Alex never came to me and said, listen, you need to quit drinking. He never came and beat the Bible over my head and said, listen, you little alcoholic, you need to stop drinking. That never happened. I asked him one time, I said, Pastor, why don't you drink? Because it's in the Bible. Come on, you guys have asked the same question. I'm not the only one that says, well, Jesus drank wine. I said, what's in the Bible, Pastor? Why don't you drink? He said, because even if I have one or two, I begin to act different than I used to. I get, it's good, man. Right? So then what happens is he's not in control of him anymore. Then the question arises, if he's not in control of him anymore, who is? Ooh, and that's scary right there. If you're not in control of you, who is? Not good. That scared the living daylights out of me. He didn't have to ask me to quit drinking. I said, no more. Because then what would happen is even one or two, I could feel I was grieving him. The sensitivity that I would have in the realm of the spirit, the words that I would hear, the things that I would see in the realm of the spirit, the miracles that were taking place, listen, not in the church, but on the streets. Those things that were happening, if I would pick up the bottle, I would realize, it's just, I'm not sensitive anymore. Doesn't mean he doesn't still love me. Doesn't mean that if I made a mistake, he's not still there to pick me up. It just means that I'm not as sensitive as I was. It means that when he comes in, I don't necessarily feel his presence. When everybody else in the church is weeping and broken around me, I'm standing there like this, like, what's wrong with these people? That's a desensitization that's taking place in this nation. It's plaguing our young people. Plaguing our young people. Suicide rates are skyrocketing. I can tell you now that is a foul and a stinking spirit to kill the plans, to kill, to steal, and destroy the plans, the purpose, and the destiny of these wonderful people. Depression. I'm not talking about I ran over my cat and now I feel I have a bad day. I'm talking depression. Long onslaught of depression. You can't get out of it. You see, we got to bind these spirits, amen? Now, what I want to talk about this morning. There's something that takes place with us on a regular basis, and I can guarantee you now, all of us know about this, but we don't know about it. Because I knew about it, but I didn't actually know about it. Okay, I'm confusing a couple people, but stay with me. It's okay. I want to talk this morning about a Leviathan spirit. A Leviathan spirit is a chaotic spirit. It operates with chaos. It operates with destruction. When this spirit is in operation, you cannot seem to function or get anything done. It's complete chaos around you. Amen. Now, how I want to start to describe this spirit, because in order for us to be able to call something out by name, we have to assign a characteristic to it. The only place we can assign a characteristic to anything is through the Word of God. Is that okay? So if I want to call out a spirit of infirmity, I can characterize the spirit of infirmity because of things that take place in the, watch this, in the natural. But the spirit of infirmity is in the realm of the spirit. So just like Leviathan, there's natural characteristics that take place. Is that okay? Can we go to the Word of God this morning? Job 41, verse 1 and through 2. Can I draw out Leviathan with a hook, or snare his tongue with a line in which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? One of the manifestations of the Leviathan spirit is a spirit of gossip. Gossip is just like a snare. It's just like a baited hook. How many of you guys have seen the little mouse traps? You put a tasty little morsel of cheese on the end of the mouse trap. The old mouse comes in the house and, ooh, that looks pretty tasty. And he goes up and he goes to bite the cheese and poof, he's dead. The trap's got him. That's exactly how gossip is. And listen, the dangerous thing about gossip is I don't even have to be the one gossiping. I can walk in the room and Miss Scarlett be gossiping, and as soon as I heed thine ear to the negative and demonic gossip that's, and Miss Scarlett doesn't do that. She's a wonderful, beautiful lady. I'm using her as an example. Is that okay? Okay. As soon as I heed the words that come out, he's already got me. I've already taken the bait. Because we all have a decision to make. As soon as the gossip comes to us, we can say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm sorry. Take it to somebody else. Okay, I can prove it to you. Because if I absolutely love Nick, and Nick's an awesome guy, and like he's a good buddy of mine, and I have this preconceived notation of who Nick is and how he operates, but then his brother, Alex, is in my other ear. Well, he does this on the weekends and he says these words and he's really not you whenever he's really not himself when he's around you and he says all these things and he's actually bar hopping. He's got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You don't even know about this, Nick. You really think you know him, but you really don't. As soon as I heed thine ear to the negative and demonic gossip coming out of his brother's mouth, and again, this is an example, please. They love each other. Look at them. They're sitting next to each other like twins, okay? But as soon as I take that into myself, what happens is my perception of Nick begins to change. My heart condition towards Nick begins to change. I used to think he was awesome. I used to think he was anointed. I used to think he was this, 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 and this. But now I begin to question what I know in my heart about him because I heeded to the voice of Satan himself. Gossip will harden your heart and make you turn and run from everything that you know. The minute you receive gossip in, things begin to take place in your heart, and all of a sudden, you have a completely different heart condition towards that person. That juicy little piece of gossip. Ooh, it's so tasty. So tasty. Don't let him get a hold of you. Amen. Job 41, verse 3 and 4 says, will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Ooh. Will he make a covenant with you? Who are we speaking about here? Leviathan. Will you take him as a servant for forever? This spirit is a covenant-breaking spirit. And here's the really dangerous thing about it. There's a lot of spirits that break covenant or seek to break covenant. Why? Because God loves covenant. God honors his covenant. Here's the really dangerous part about Leviathan is Leviathan not only makes you break covenant, it also makes you feel justified to break the covenant. Can I give an explanation? Let's just say my beautiful wife is a stay-at-home mom. And she stays at home, and that's what she does. And I'm the breadwinner. I go out and make the donuts every day. sweating hard out there working on the power lines and welding or doing whatever job I'm in, right? 80 hours a week. So I get up in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and she's got a baby in one arm and she's trying to grab a toddler running around the house. And okay, bye babe, have a great day. I shut the door, I get in my truck, I go to work, and I have a hard day at work. I'm sweating, I busted my knuckles on this. It's been a hard day. And I come home at 6:30 at night and I kick the door open and I walk in the house. Hey babe, what have you done today? Now, I had a bad day. And I didn't mean it the way that it came out. Watch me now. But the way it was perceived, all I said was, hey, babe, what did you do today? Hey, what did you do today? That's it. Men are simple. What's in here comes out of here. Okay, we don't sugarcoat with a lot of words. We're simple. What did you do today? But see, here's how this thing works, is this is how she hears it. Oh, she just thinks I'm lazy. I've got two kids. I've got a baby in one arm. I've got one in the stroller. I've been cleaning diapers all day and scrubbing these floors. What, does he think I'm lazy? Huh? It's that Leviathan spirit. We got to kick that thing out of our household. Because then what it does is it breeds a dissension between our spouse. There's a covenant there. He's after that covenant. He wants to see the divorce take place. He wants you to leave your spouse. Ooh. Okay, we can reverse the roles if you want. Husband comes home. He's worked 80 hours that week. He's sweaty. He's tired. His knuckles are bleeding. All he wants is, hey, babe, how are you? A nice warm meal. He opens the door and he's tired. Sits on his recliner. First time he sat down the whole day. Sits down, kicks his boots off, and here she comes with the toddler. Will you take the trash out? I'm so busy. All she did was ask him a question. Will you take the trash out? But all he hears it is, this woman thinks I'm lazy. Doesn't she know that I worked 80 hours this week? Can't she see my knuckles are bleeding? Doesn't she know I pay the bills? Leviathan wants us to break covenant. Okay, I'll put it in the church. Went to my home cell leader and I had a prophetic word that I wanted to release to the home cell, and I went to my home cell leader and he said no. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know I'm anointed? Doesn't he know I'm the great next prophet? Leviathan is dangerous. He wants to break that covenant. Verse 5. Will you play with him as with a bird? Will you leash, or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Can you lay your hand on him? Remember the battle and never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Who are we talking about here? Leviathan. Any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Now, please understand me as I say what I'm about to say. I don't want it to get taken out of context. This is a very intimidating spirit. Okay? Now with that, we are all blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. We have absolutely nothing to be intimidated by or fearful of. In other words, Leviathan has to bow. Period. That's the problem, though. Eyes to see and ears to hear. For the spiritual Christian that isn't spiritual, that doesn't see and doesn't hear, they only perceive these manifestations that I've been describing in the natural, and they assign to them a natural property, which means they deal with it in the natural. what that does is it creates such an intimidating spirit. This spirit of gossip is so heavy. This spirit is so heavy upon me. They want a divorce. They want this. They want that. It's so strong that the fear of actually dealing with the root issue is so great that it actually discourages you from dealing with the problem. That's what I mean by intimidating. The repercussion is so bad of going to them and apologizing. How many of you know that sometimes apologizing is hard? Sometimes it hurts. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Anybody ever been deathly afraid to admit that they're wrong? Okay, I guess it's about five of us. All right. Sometimes it's hard for me to admit that I'm wrong because I'm right. I got a bit of a strong personality, I'm sorry. I struggle to admit when I'm wrong. Even if it's the right thing to do. And most of the time it is. Matter of fact, it always is. Forgive and forget and move on. But see, this spirit will convince you that the repercussions of going to them and doing the right thing would be far greater than actually dealing with the root itself. Is that okay? You want me to give an example? Or you guys got it? Okay, I'll give an example. Husband's been caught up in porn. There's a covenant breaking taking place in the marriage, just as one example. He's been sleeping around and doing things that he shouldn't have been doing inside the covenant of marriage. The fear of actually admitting the things that he's been doing wrong overtakes him to the point where he would rather see the divorce take place than to fix the issue. It's me. It's not you. It's not you. It's me. I'm the one with the problem. I'm sorry. Can we fix this and move on? But instead of dealing with it, the fear of repercussion comes to them. Is everybody out there? Is this too heavy for a Sunday morning? We gotta begin to see in the realm of the spirit, eyes to see and ears to hear, so that the covenant stop getting broken. So that God can continue to move, so that the desensitization stops here. The buck stops here and now. This is the generation that's going to take it. This church, this body. We've got to have eyes to see. It often works hand in hand with a critical spirit. Pick apart everything that the other person says because you're looking for a fault. You're looking for an issue. You're looking for something to harden your heart even more. You're looking for something to justify even more. Listen, it's not the people. We love the people. It's the spirit in operation behind the people. Please stay with me. Amen? Okay. Verse 11. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light. His eyes are like eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning light. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils and as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals. And a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, and they are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, and even as the lower millstone. When somebody has dealt with this spirit for a very long time, there's a hardening in the heart that takes place. On both accounts, the one doing the gossiping and the one receiving the gossip. The one that is breaking the covenant and the one that is being broken out of covenant. There's a hardening that takes place on both parties. Can I tell you something? If the heart is hardened, it's very difficult to receive revelation. when revelation comes forth, if your heart is hard, it hits and bounces off. Makes it difficult to receive easy things, let alone a difficult word. Sometimes we need a good difficult word to kick us into gear. But if our hearts are hardened, we can't receive that word. It just bounces right off of us, and then offense builds up and it gets worse and worse and worse, and it just begins to escalate and run out of control. Amen. Verse 25 says, when he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotted wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think that the deep had a white hair. And on earth there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is the king over all the children of pride. That'll preach right there. This is a horrible spirit that seeks to do nothing more than to kill, to steal and destroy, to steal your destiny, to steal your purpose, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your ministry, to destroy your job, to kill your finances, to kill all the joy that's in your life, to absolutely remove you from the presence of God. This is a divisive little spirit. But 2 Kings 6:16, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Matthew 10:1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all sicknesses and all kinds of disease. A command cannot be reversed. So when we stand as Holy Ghost filled Christians and we command Leviathan to get underneath our feet, and when we command Leviathan to go, when we tell him where he needs to go, he must bow and he must listen, because we stand in proxy. We stand in the name of Jesus, as if Jesus was here this morning commanding Leviathan to go. He has to bow. Will you stand with me this morning? Will you stand with me this morning? Can we do some spiritual warfare together as the body of Christ? Can we kick some devil butt? Listen, if this is your first time here, I promise it's not always like this on a Sunday. We're usually a lot more calm. Amen. But we're going to do something this morning. Can you dim the lights a little bit, Matt? I'm tired of seeing this divisive, lying spirit operate in my own life, in my own hearing, in my family, in my church, in my ministry. I'm tired of seeing him rule and reign. And today he comes down. Will you pray with me? Father, right now, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, we take authority over this Leviathan spirit, this lying spirit, this divisive spirit, this spirit that seeks to break covenant. Father, this morning, we see him and we strike him with blindness. We strike him with muteness. Right now, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, as the body of Christ, we stand and we say, Leviathan, go! Leviathan, go! Leviathan, go! Leviathan, go! Leviathan, go! Be cast down. We break your power. We bind you in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Be removed from our families. Be removed from our marriages. Be removed from our children. Be removed from our lives in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Now let's give Jesus some praise. Father, I thank you this morning that we have dealt with something in the realm of the spirit, in the invisible realm. Father, there has been a spiritual war that has been taking place, and today there has been a casting down. There has been a stripping of authority in the name of Jesus, and we thank you this morning. Father, I pray for every single person that came out today to hear the word. Father, I thank you for them, and I pray that you would bless them, that your hand of favor would be upon them, that the joy and the peace of the Lord would be their portion in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And Father, that your hand of protection would be over them, that you would go with them throughout the rest of their weekend and the rest of their week. Father, we thank you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.